how about telling me a little bit about yourself and your background first?
I have been at the university for about 30 years. I'm a professor in civil engineering, but my specialty is in geotechnical geoenvironmental. So to put it in basic language, anything to do with the environment and Earth is sort of encompasses geoenvironmental engineering. Research primarily in the mining sector for the last two decades or so, looking primarily at cover design, looking at how to design reclamation covers to close out mine landforms after mining is complete, and was invited about 1998 to come and work on some of Syncrude's reclamation designs at the time, and I've been working with them for the past 14 years or so.
You've just recently been appointed to this new industry research chair, and it's called the Chair in Hydrogeological Characterization of Oil Sands Mine Closure Landforms.
I like that title, do you?
What does that mean?
Well, hydrogeology is the study of the movement of water in the subsurface, and one of the challenges all mines face is when they finish mining and want to return the landscape back to a condition which can be returned back to the environment, is the where does the water move that moves through these landscapes? And whenever you disturb the landscape, whenever you dig up and mine ore, you're left with large piles of overburden material that was laying over top of the ore prior to mining. And you've also got tailings, which is the material that has contained the ore, if you will, when you stripped out, in this case, bitumen, the tailings are left over. So these large waste streams form new landscapes. And one of the challenges, how do you track the water movement through these landscapes to be able to anticipate the long-term impact, if any, from this water when it discharges to the environment? So our study is trying to get a better handle on the movement of water through these landscapes and any chemical loading that might come from those landscapes in the long term.
And who is supporting this chair? Who are the partners?
So Syncrude is the industry partner, and paired up with Syncrude is NSERC, the National Sciences and Engineering Research Council. And those are the two predominant partners. The University of Saskatchewan also provides in-kind support and overhead release funding. And we've also got a small partnership with one of Syncrude's contractors named Contech. So that group provides the base funding, both cash support and in-kind support for a five-year research program.
So you've got a fair bit of history coming into this in terms of the hydrology and the geology in that. What is it that you're going to do with this particular research project or chair?
That's a very good question. If I go back a step to my first, let's say the first decade of research with Syncrude from about 1998 to 2008, we were looking at how the reclamation cover design, that is the covers that they place over top of these waste landforms, how well they deal with the water balance and providing water for plant growth, and looking at any chemical release from these landforms. So the focus was on the actual water balance within the cover itself. But some water will always leave that cover either as surface water or as deep movement down into the landscape. In those 10 years of research, we were able to show that, in fact, the cover designs being used by Syncrude are very capable of providing the water demands for, let's say, an upland forest. But there's always a little bit of water that passes through that cover into the landform. And to look at the long-term release of water and any chemicals of interest, any constituents of interest, you need to understand the deeper flow system. And really, there's been very limited work done on how much water moves deep through these landforms in the long term. We're talking in 100 to 1,000 year time frame. So the chair is really focused on trying to find and apply some tools where we can characterize the rates of movement and the distribution of water movement through these landforms.
How would you even do that?
Yes, and that's why they call it research, because we're trying some things that, you know, you take a chance that they may not work, and Syncrude is generous enough to say, well, try the things you think might be possible. We're hoping some of them will work. One of the ways we're doing it is through the use of isotopes of water. So isotope, think of water as a hydrogen molecule and oxygen molecules combined. Well, both the hydrogen and the oxygen, there's different types of hydrogen and oxygen. Some of them are a bit heavier. Some of them are normal, as we would think of them. The heavier ones are the isotopes. And when you look at water from rainfall or snowmelt, it has a characteristic signature of ratio of heavy elements to the normal ones. And what we're finding, or what we're going to try, is to see if we can use that signature of fresh snowmelt water or rainfall and see if we can trace the migration of that water through the landforms. And if we can do that, it gives us a tool by which we can go to any landform and sample the water within that landform and have some sense of when that water would have passed through that landform. So how much water has moved, how rapidly it's moved, and along what pathway. To know that is really the foundational piece to then start to estimate any kind of release of chemicals from that landform, because you have to know how much water is released before you know how much chemicals might be released. The chemical of concern primarily in oil sands is salt, really. It's fairly benign to most of us, but there's a lot of salt in these landscapes because these were very salt-rich soils before mining. And so that salt is available in the landform, and you're concerned about how fast that salt then gets released to surface waters and wetlands downstream.
If that is successful, that'll tell you what's happened in the past, but can you then use that to predict what might happen in the future?
That's a very good question. The sites that the Syncrude has would be in the decades range in terms of time frame. So we're taking a snapshot from the time they were built to 10 or 20 years, history. And then the question is, well, how do you project that longer term? And so that's where we're trying to tie in our mapping of these isotopic signatures through the landforms with a 20-year history, trying to link that to the 10 years of study we've done on water balance dynamics. Because what you're really saying is if you look forward to climate variability or climate change and the development of the productive forest that's on these landforms, you can start to get a sense of whether things will change in terms of the distribution of flow into the future. If in the last 20 years we've been watching these landforms go from sort of immature, brand new reclamation covers into fairly mature productive forests, and we've been able to trace that water balance, how water moves through that upper reclamation cover, then we can get a sense of anticipating where is that water, as we look forward into the future, how much of that water is going to come off that landscape into the future. So we're combining our study of the deeper flow system with the surface flow system and trying to provide the industry some insight as to what they should be anticipating into the closure time frame in terms of water and salt movement through these landforms.
Can you give me some specific examples of, say, a project that you're working on right now? Where would people find you in the field?
It's a very good question. They'd probably find me into the field not as often as my students, but that's the benefit of the grad students. Well, one of the projects we're doing right now, which is really quite exciting, is one of my students is developing a catalog, if you want to think of it as, of isotopic signatures. I always tease my students that when my girls were quite young and they would come home late at night on a Friday night, if I walked up to them and smelled their breath, I had a pretty good idea where they were that night. And in a sense, this student is taking samples of soil and water samples throughout Syncrude site and characterizing this isotopic signature that I've talked to you about, the ratio of heavy hydrogen and heavy oxygen to the normal hydrogen and oxygen. And what we've been able to find is, in fact, if you have process-affected water, water that's been recycled and reused through the mill, it has a very unique signature. If you find that signature water deep in a landform, you know that that process-affected water has moved that far into that landform. Similarly, snowmelt water has a very unique signature. If I find snowmelt water 10 meters down inside a sand tailings landform, I know that 10 meters of that landform has essentially been flushed by fresh water. So it's a very exciting project. The student has been gathering thousands of these samples across the site, and many of the samples collected by Syncrude personnel on our behalf. We analyze them, and now they're starting to compile this database. And so it'll give us a catalog, so when we go to sample these landforms, we can say, okay, is that snowmelt water? Is that recent new water moving through the landscape? Or is that old water? Is that water that was there because of the mine process affected water? Or is it, in fact, really old water from the shale when they first dug it up as overburden when they were doing the mining? So it gives you a template against which you can match the sample you have now against these sort of archetypes of isotopic signatures that would be associated with a particular origin of that water.
Syncrude has also been working on a project for a while to see if they can rebuild a fen. How will your students be working in that?
So the fen is one of my targeted research sites for the chair. Part of the reason is that in the Fen, or what was East End Pit, the Syncrude is progressively reclaiming from the north to the south using a series of small sand tailings, hummocks, placed over top of composite tailings, which is a combination of fine and sand tailings. So these are small uplands in sort of the orders of less than 10 meters in height. And so one of the advantages is they are free draining, they're sand tailings, and they're also quite small. And so this idea of connecting surface water balance to deeper flow systems is more immediate. And so you're able to monitor the movement of water through these landscapes, and the changes are going to be much more rapid. And so we're doing the isotopic tracing in those landforms. We'll go back year after year and see how that evolves over time, and also looking at the actual wetland itself. So the water in which the peatland will eventually develop is a combination of water being discharged upwards from the consolidating tailings, fresh water coming through as part of the drainage system, and also recharging water coming from the uplands and discharging into this wetland. So it gives us kind of a microcosm, if you will, or a very nice controlled experiment to look at these interactions between surface water, groundwater, and of course final health, if you will, of the wetland. So that's one of our primary research study areas over the next 5 years.
This whole idea of trying to rebuild watersheds and landforms, that certainly is the crux of it all when it comes to reclamation. What confidence do you have that this is actually going to work?
Well, one of the things that we began 14 years ago now with Syncrude was a concept that rather than simply monitoring at one location for, let's say, a water balance, to explain water balance to your people in a very simple way. If I gave you a big flower pot, you know, one of these big urns that you stick outside on your patio, and I said to you, okay, we want to design the soil profile in this urn so we can grow a particular type of plant. Well, you'd have to design the soil layers. Well, you maybe need some rich topsoil at the top, and maybe you need some clay at the bottom to hold the water and a little gravel at the base to drain away. So you design this water pot, this water plant holder. But you don't get to control how much rain falls on it. You don't get to water the plant. Only nature can water the plant. Snow accumulates on the plant every spring and then eventually melts. And so you design this pot to make sure that you store enough water from the rainfall events for the plants to use in transpiration. But there's always a little bit of water that you can't control that leaves the bottom of the plant and spills out on your patio, or some that runs off the top. So what we're trying to do is say, okay, we've been studying the dynamics of the water storage within the pot, and we've been able to show that that the design that's currently being employed is very effective in storing and holding water from snowmelt and rain to make it available for plant transpiration. So we've monitored this site for 10, 15 years now and shown that year after year, you can see that that mechanism of storing snowmelt water, rainfall water, re-releasing it, transpiration, is working. So that we're confident of that. But when you try to close that water balance, you can't always account for the small amount that goes off the bottom. And so that's why the shift in the research from simply looking at, do we have enough water stored for the plant to use, to how much water is moving deeper through the landscape that now is going to show up later on, maybe thousands of years later, in an adjacent wetland. But the trajectory of that monitoring for the last 10 years, we've been able to show that if you look at water release from the site, if you look at plant growth, if you look at the rates of tree growth, that all of those things are showing a trajectory that is very comparable to what you might see in a natural system. So it gives you a lot of confidence. If you simply make one measurement, you have no way of knowing whether that's going to continue. But Syncrude's commitment has been to monitor these sites for 14 years. And so year after year, you build your confidence level because you start to observe and explain the mechanisms you see. Every year, they all continue to point in the same direction. The final closure landscape is going to take hundreds of years to mature. And that's just sort of the surface upland vegetation. The deeper flow system maybe take thousands of years to reach any point of equilibrium. And so by following that trajectory in the upper portion, we're pretty confident that the reclamation question is not really out there, in terms of having much doubt about that. But the longer-term closure questions are these long-term releases from the landscapes past, your generation, or my generation, or your generation.
I'm curious about the involvement of the University of Saskatchewan, because Syncrus is based in Alberta. The oil sands right now are operating in Alberta. So what's the magic with the University of Saskatchewan?
Sometimes you can have skill and sometimes you can have good luck. And so there's probably a lot of good luck in it. The origin of the relationship actually goes back to a Syncrude person who was looking for someone who had experience with linking soil salt migration within soils to water balance dynamics. And we happened to be doing some work, a colleague of mine, Bill Stolte, who Bill's lake is named after. Bill has passed away, but at the time, Clara, who was the Syncrude person, saw some of the work that we had done on prairie sloughs, where there are lots of salts moving around and a lot of water moving around. So she invited us to take up a small project for Syncrude. I always tell my students that in engineering, which you think would be very mathematical and science-based, that in engineering, your predominant control over your success is your relationships. There is no success outside of relationships, I always tell my students. So don't, you know, you can have good science, you can have good engineering, but if you have no relationship, you have no hope of success. And really, that's been the one piece of the puzzle for my ongoing relationship with Syncrude, is I've always had people to work with that have had very strong person-to-person relationships. And then you can build the science and the engineering on top of that. But if you don't have a basis to work collaboratively and openly and candidly, then there is no hope of a future. So that incidental contact and then the ability to work with the people that I have been able to work with at Syncrude, Clara, Audrey, so many of the environmental team, that's been the success of that relationship for the last 14 years.
But I think beyond relationships, there's also this sense of expertise. Certainly Howard Weeder now is at the University of Saskatchewan. What else is it that you have that you can build on this sense of expertise?
Because of being a relatively small university, we have a smaller community, and that may be seen as a disadvantage in some respects, but in the advantage it has is that we have very short walks, literally, between different researchers working in different disciplines. And we also have a lot of researchers that all are focusing on water and environment issues. So you have Howard Weeder and the Global Institute for Water Security, very large NSERC program, funded program by the federal government. But we have researchers in geography and geology and agriculture and engineering, all focusing on water and the environment. And so you've got very high quality researchers with a small, well-connected community and tremendous resources. I mean, the laboratory space that we have, geochemistry labs in geology, the CLS synchrotron light source. So we have this concentration of expertise, small community, easy to make connections. And I think that's made it a very exciting place for collaborative research related to projects like the Syncrude work.
Thank you very much, Lee.
You're welcome.